Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Today, I'll chat with five-time Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, and guitarist Keb Moe about his newly released album, The Breakdown.
One difficult moment on the record was the song called Every Step of the Way. That was a song that, you know, like I had to, that was really mostly done by Lauren Lucas. That's my favorite one on the album, and it's just like, tells my whole story.
And WBGO's John Kalish has the story of Westchester County guitarist John Madoff.
Jazz has such a wide range of sounds, and I think jazz fans take that for granted sometimes. But instrumental music that's coming from an American and Black tradition, and it incorporates improvisation, it's jazz.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. Keb Moe happens to be one of my favorite singers and storytellers of all time. More than 50 years into a career marked by 5 Grammy wins, an Americana Music Association Lifetime Achievement Award, performances at the White House and around the world, he's very special.
I got no time for anger, got no time for resentment, got no answers. Truth be told, I'm looking for redemption. I don't worry about nothing. I don't hurry, I'll get there. It ain't nothing, ain't nothing but a party. Every day I count my blessings, do a little less second guess. This life and every breath you take is borrowed. I'm taking myself too serious. Tell myself, lighten up, you might have more yesterdays than tomorrows.
Keb Moe returns with his most stripped down and intimate album to date. The Breakdown was released August 21st via Concord Records, with the LA native doing something he's never done before. He strips back his recordings to just his wonderful voice, guitar, and carefully selected vocal contributions from the Soweto Gospel Choir and the Gospel Sextet, Take Six. The incredible Keb Moe joins us today on WBGO. Great to see you, sir.
Thank you, incredible Doug.
Not so much.
Oh, yeah.
This 10-song collection was recorded at your home studio outside Nashville and written in the wake of life-saving open-heart surgery in 2024, the end of your nearly 20-year marriage, and a period of profound personal upheaval. You were literally opened up by a surgeon, and you certainly open up in The Breakdown, songs that prompted tears in this reporter's eyes, I can tell you. The lyrics of The Breakdown are powerful, reflective, emotional, and hopeful. Now that the project has been released, what have you learned about yourself?
What have I learned about myself? Wow. Doug, hit me hard. Well, I'm still learning, and I think the jury's in. I'm always trying to learn about myself, but I'm really aiming to learn about myself and how I relate to other people. It's just like myself, just by myself, I'm just like, I'm a neutral object. But when I interact, how do I do that when I'm communicating with my fellow man, you know, and people, you know, who am I in that, who am I? Who am I, really? You know, why do I do the things that I do? You know, it's just, so I'm still learning. I don't know that I really know anything about myself, but I'm always open to learn. And I probably listen to other people's opinions about me are probably too much, you know.
We have a better idea about you through this album. I got to ask you, haven't seen you on stage with just your voice and guitar. This album was all I need, right? You're such an amazing storyteller. Considering the traumatic period that you experienced, was this album more difficult for you to write than previous ones?
No, it was not more difficult. But I have to do one difficult moment on the record was the song called Every Step of the Way, you know? that was a song that, you know, like I had the, that was really mostly done by Lauren Lucas. You know, she came up with the lyric. I poured my heart out. We were trying to write this song, and I was pouring my story out, because when you write with people, you have to, you know, you kind of have to get to know each other real quick, and you can't hold back, you know, things. You have to, like, really talk about life so that you can get down to the nitty-gritty of the story you're trying to tell, which hopefully will inspire and help people move their lives along too as well, or give them some kind of something. So that song, Every Step of the Way, that's my favorite one on the album, and it just, it's just like, tells my whole story.
I'm not really surprised, because it is my favorite. I mean, it's hard with your albums to pick a favorite, but I must say, Every Step of the Way resonates with so many. The magic of songwriting, right, is you try to make it relevant to as many people as possible.
I felt the sunshine, and I faced the rain. I've had some heartache, tasted the bitterness of pain. But after every stumble, I'm still standing tall. While the day keeps on dawning, I'm not gonna be afraid to risk it all. It don't matter how high the cost of dreams won or love lost. It's made me the man I am today. So I'm thankful for every step of the way. Every step of the way.
Can you talk a little bit more about this song and why you are the man you are today?
Well, I'm an ever-evolving being. You know, and tomorrow, yesterday I was somebody else. I mean, yesterday I was a different version of myself, maybe. And or maybe not yesterday, but 5 years ago. Let's say that. Who was I 5 years ago? Who am I now? Who will I be 10 years from now if I make it that long? You know? And so it's an ever-evolving and ever-changing journey with self, while you change and stay the same at the same time. Like the essence of who I am, I mean, I feel like I'm 10 years old. The same, I feel the same way I felt when I was a little kid. You know, there's no difference than being a man of almost about to turn 75.
I love that, because I consider my, sometimes I don't realize that I'm in my mid 60s and I feel like I'm still a kid for many things. I wear all kinds of sports memorabilia all the time. People say, isn't he a little old for that? But I still do it. and I related in a minor way to what you went through with your surgery. I recently had quad tendon repair surgery. And really, to be truthful, the only thing I thought about was waking up. Make sure, will I wake up from the surgery? I don't know why that was going through my head. You went through a much more serious situation with open heart surgery. And we feel it in the Stitched Up Heart, one of the songs on this album. Something you and your younger sister know all about. Does it feel truly like a brand new start for both of you?
Well, I can't speak for her, but I know she's a very good, kind, loving, you know, woman. She's my sister, and I have three sisters, and they're all amazing, you know, and we're really close tied. We're like, those are all my siblings, three sisters. I'm the only boy, and we're all raised by a single mother who, you know, went through her own changes trying to raise us, and she successfully raised four kids. That's me and my three sisters, and we are always very grateful for her and remain a very close family.
My Lady Rose and I, we went to the Serpent Festival, and you played the night before in New York, but you were not there. Was that when you started to feel a shortness of breath during that tour?
The Serpent Festival?
With Slash.
Oh, no, I probably wasn't on that date.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was when you were playing with Slash, though, that you started to feel a shortness of breath, right?
It was before that.
Oh, it was before that. Okay.
I was in South Africa, and I started to feel it.
Mm.
And I went, yeah, man, I was crazy.
Wow.
You know, I was out. I thought I was having some kind of lung, I don't know, heart failure. Never occurred to me, you know.
In that tune, you mention, you know, that your life is in the hands of this surgeon, this operator, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have the same kind of trepidation that I had that, hey, I might not wake up from this?
Well, I guess I always have that every day. I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the morning. You know, every time I wake up and every time I breathe some air and all my limbs feel good and everything, I just go, I'm very grateful if everything's working, you know, because it doesn't have to. You know what I mean?
She walked into the room. It was love at first sight. She knew I had a problem. Only she could make it right. Such a smooth operator, an angel sent from above to open me up, put me back together, and shower me with love. And now I got a stitched up heart with nothing to lose, a brand new start and a brand new groove. No matter where I go or what I do, my stitched up heart's gonna carry me through. She gave me a magic potion. I fell asleep in her loving arms. I trusted her completely to keep me safe from harm. But while I was sleeping, she pulled out all her tools, and I woke up on a table feeling like a drunken fool. With my stitched up heart, with nothing to lose, a brand new start and a brand new groove. No matter where I go or what I do, my stitched up heart's gonna carry me through. I'm functional, I feel indestructible. I paid my deductible. Cause now I got a stitched up heart with nothing to lose, a brand new start and a brand new groove. No matter where I go or what I do, my stitched up heart's gonna carry me through.
You mentioned your trip to South Africa, so let's go there. Trip to Johannesburg 4 years ago before your surgery. Led to Hand It Over on this album with the Soweto Gospel Choir. Were you waiting just for the right moment then to put this into an album?
Yes, I guess that describes it pretty good. I had the arrangement. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know whether they wanted to do something with it or I was going to do something with it. I didn't know, but I guess it came up, this record. And I saw that. I said, that's perfect for this record. Edition of Hanging or Hand It Over. And it's just like, and along with, and it teams up with the song that's right next to it, which is Walking on Water, you know, both having a kind of a spiritual context to them, a metaphoric, you know, kind of thing, or a ecclesiastic kind of vibe, but not really.
You know? You've always been a man of faith, though, right?
Yeah, faith. Not necessarily any denomination. I was raised in the Baptist church, but I just went there for the music. I just wanted to hear the music. And my mother made me go. But when I heard the music, I was always in with the music, you know.
Yeah.
And I also was a practice of Buddhism for like 15 years.
Mm.
Like steady, really. My choice, you know, my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I found about, I started to read and recognize that all the great sages that were speaking, you know, about spirituality and how life works were saying the same thing. There wasn't much difference between what, you know, Jesus was saying, what they were saying, and what they were saying in the Tao.
Yeah, you're very reflective on this album, The Breakdown. And the first single that you released, Fussing and Fighting, could as easily reflect a long-term relationship as a divided nation searching for common ground.
A long time ago, when we first met, we were like children. I'll never forget, I was your main squeeze. We couldn't get enough, we were easy to please. We had everything, but something's changed. And I can't do nothing right. We spend every hour, every day and every night fussing and fighting, it's driving me crazy. Where is the love we used to know from a long time ago? This fussing and fighting, it ain't gonna faze me. Baby, I love you more than you know. This fussing and fighting, is it ever gonna stop? I'm giving you everything, everything that I got. I'm waiting for the day you and I can get along, just like we used to, when we were going strong. A star was shining so brightly on us, but lately it's been a little rough. But it's time that we had a transformation. Time to step away from a bad situation. This fussing and fighting is driving me crazy.
Well, politics drives me crazy because, you know, in a democracy or a socialist dictator government, you know, either way it goes, our leaders are supposed to have our best interest at heart of the whole the nation. And I don't know that they always do, you know, and at any time you could take sides with people, you know. It's like you take sides with, like, looking at a Trump or Netanyahu, you know, who, like, these guys look like, you know, they're not, you know, whatever. But, you know, from their standpoint, I just wonder how it looks to them. You know, I don't think they believe they're doing anything harmful. I think they believe they're helping.
On a much brighter note, when you're on a blues cruise, you get to not only share your great music with fans and those who are our guests, but there could be collaborations that develop, such as the case in You and Take Six on this song, They Don't Make Them Like They Used To. Tell us about this song and Take Six.
I've encountered Take Six several times, you know, and we always talked about something and doing something together. And we were on the Chris Botti cruise. Those guys are tight. They always have breakfast in the morning together. You see them in the they're all sitting together, like hanging, you know, they're like a mob. They're like a six-headed, like, singing monster or something. It's like, you know, like, they got one body. So I said, let's do an album. Maybe we could do an album. They said, yeah, they were all down. Yeah, okay. So I guess when Don't Make It Like They Used To came up, I thought, there we go. I'm gonna call up Take Six.
I smell biscuits baked from scratch. Someone's in the kitchen making a fresh batch. Grandmama, tell me what I got to do to find me a woman that can cook like you. She said, those days are gone. Them days are through. They got college education, and they ain't gonna fix no dinner for you. Those days are over. Them days are through. Boy, you might as well face it. They just don't make them like they used to.
I love that message. It's like, it's grandma telling a young man about, you know, you missed it, buddy. I'm not going to be able to find a woman that can cook like you. Said, well,
going to have to learn to cook yourself, whether you like to or not.
It's a wake up for men and a tribute to women and their quest for equality and to be recognized not as just a, you know, a cook or a cleaning, which has long been done already, but it's reaffirming that, I think, reaffirming that the women are powerful and, you know, they're not going to be running, cooking and cleaning up after you.
and speaking of music, they're headlining more jazz festivals and blues festivals than the men these days.
Yeah, I haven't counted, but that sounds about right.
So you mentioned grandma. So let's go back to the early days. What was the first song that Kevin Moore ever wrote?
First song I wrote? Oh, God. It's in my scrapbook.
And where's that scrapbook at now?
It's somewhere around here. And it was a scrapbook. And all that are in it are my old baseball cards that are worth a fortune now that I glued to the paper.
Oh, no. But you know what? We didn't know at that time, did we? We didn't know. That's why they're expensive now.
Yeah. I got like a Willie Mays in there glued to the...
I know. I had a Dr. J card that, you know, that I also had put up on the wall. And so it's like, oh, no. Right? Anyway, then you're fine.
But in that book is a song, a little verse that I rent, started writing a song called It's Incredible. You know what I mean?
And what was that? What was that
love
about?
Song. It's incredible that you don't love me. So there's things like that. And I had a verse and I wrote it, and it didn't even rhyme. It was just like a little, just trying to write a song. I was probably 10, you know.
Was there a young gal you were trying to impress at the time?
No, I was just listening to the songs of the they were all about love, you know? Yeah. You know, like being in love or being left or being whatever. And I just, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. Oh, no, I didn't know.
The Breakdown is now available on Concord Records. You can see my entire interview with Keb Moe on the WBGO YouTube channel, where we also talk about the collaboration with Taj Mahal. The Taj Moe concerts begin in September.
What's all the fuss about? Why can't people just get along? Maybe we ought to talk about all the good we got going on. Everybody knows there's a better way. And we're all hoping and praying that one day there'll be love all around the world.
All around the world.
There'll be peace and understanding.
All around the world.
There'll be joy all around the world.
All around the world.
There'll be happy children singing all around the world.
You're listening to the WBGO Journal. John Madoff is a guitarist based in Westchester County, New York, whose works span many genres, including jazz. He has a new trio with a new album that just came out on Zodic Records. WBGO's John Kalish has more.
John Madoff was born in Philadelphia. He started out playing rock music, but his teacher turned him on to some jazz guitarists.
I got into Pink Floyd and Jimi Hendrix. And then I got into more underground, independent, but still in the kind of rock and punk world. And then I slowly discovered jazz through what my friends were listening to and what my guitar teacher gave me. He would give me a Grant Green album on tape and George Benson. Those were kind of the first jazz guitar players that I discovered.
Madoff came to New York in 2000 in large part because of its thriving downtown experimental music scene. John Zorn was a key player in that scene, and Madoff began a longtime collaboration with him. Zorn signed Madoff and his original trio, Rashanim, to his Tzadik Records label in 2003.
It was so vibrant and vital, that scene. The Knitting Factory and Dave Douglas and Marty Ehrlich and people who were doing stuff there would go to so many different places musically and incorporate so many different influences. That was the mindset that existed.
John Madoff may best be known for founding Zion 80, a boisterous 10-piece ensemble that combined Afrobeat with Jewish music. Much of its repertoire was inspired by the Nigerian Afrobeat pioneer Fela Kuti, but the horn-heavy band also played original compositions. The first of Zion 80's four albums was released in 2013. The band performed in Europe and Canada, but Madoff now describes Zion 80 as being on hiatus. The John Madoff Trio's debut album is titled Netzach. He's joined by drummer Nate Rappaport and bass player Yoshi Fruchter, a bandmate from Zion 80. The trio's sound has elements of surf rock, punk, metal, avant-garde, Jewish music, and jazz.
Jazz has such a wide range of sounds, and I think jazz fans take that for granted sometimes. But instrumental music that's coming from an American and Black tradition, and it incorporates improvisation, it's jazz. I've always experimented with how much improvisation and how much structure and composition I'm gonna put in my music. And what I found is that the improvisation always has to serve the composition and the song. And when it doesn't, I tend to feel very limited. If I don't have enough structure, I just go to the same place. I want the improvisation to kind of live in a story. The song is like a little story or like a little world, and I wanna tell that story when I'm improvising.
Madoff's daily listening ritual begins with classical music in the morning. He might switch to speed metal later in the day. It's a range he strives for in his own music, though not in the same song, he's quick to point out. Madoff's playing sometimes amounts to guitar pyrotechnics.
I looked for places that we could play and that where we wouldn't have to be too quiet, or if they wanted a specific kind of music or this and that. So a lot of it was bars that we started playing in that just would have us come in and we would play for tips or a small fee. And that allowed us to develop the music without the restraint of somebody coming over after 2 seconds and telling us that we were too loud. I want to be mindful of the volume in a room. I don't want to blast people unnecessarily, but if I have a crazy loud song, I want to play it. And a lot of places were totally cool. We've been playing at some great places and they're like, yeah, it's fine. Don't be insane, but we don't care what you play.
Hopefully no one complains at New Blue on Avenue C in the East Village when the John Madoff Trio lets it rip on September 9th at their album release concert. For the WBGO Journal, I'm John Kalish.
Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.